don't want to risk CE credits or break any rules, so I'm going to quickly go through my slide deck. But I'm going to try to not elaborate too much, so we have at least a few minutes for discussion. So I was going to talk a little bit about our campaign, messages, materials, and products, but I wanted to make the point that for us, one of the major challenges with our campaign to promote H1N1 vaccine this year was, of course, timing. At the federal level, we really had to struggle with this issue of the variability across the nation in terms of supply and demand. And we didn't want to come out and start actively and heavily promoting H1N1 influenza vaccine while we had so many states who were in this predicament of lots of demand and not enough vaccine to meet it. And so for us, timing was a big challenge. Looking back, I'm not, you know, you can never, I think, make the exact right decision on that. But it was pretty actually late in the game before we started promoting vaccination at the national level because, as Dr. Shuckett said this morning, we did have scenarios like this. And it wasn't uncommon for locations to have a lot more demand than they could meet at different times. So our big push in terms of the campaign really came starting in December and building into National Influenza Vaccination Week. And as many of you know, we had originally scheduled this for early in December. And come mid, getting to late November, we knew we had to make a decision to go with it or to delay it. And the decision was made to delay it because at that point, vaccine supply was still very uncertain. We still had a lot of locations with high demand and not enough supply. Now, in hindsight, you know, we know that for a lot of folks, this was too late, you know, and the window was earlier. And we had that challenge of having the holidays really right when we would have wanted to do NIVW, but we all know that that's just not practical. So I just listed some of the message themes that we tried to get out during NIVW. You can see them here. And before the week itself, we created a number of materials to get out to partners in addition to the key messages we were going to communicate, everything from a letter from Secretary Sebelius to a presidential proclamation to an ad with the president, I'll show you in a second, and as well as an ad signed by over 30 partner organizations expressing their support for the safety and necessity of influenza vaccination. As I said, we distributed key messages that were audience specific so that our partners would know what we were trying to get out that week. And we had our online calendar of events, and even though everything came together at the last minute, our partners were able to submit to us what they were doing and things they had planned. And we had over 200 entries on that calendar. So here were the ads I mentioned. We placed full page ads, specifically the partner ad, in USA Today, the Washington Post, LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, and USA Today. And the ad with the president getting his H1N1 flu vaccine, we placed in 42 weeklies across the country. Here's just a listing of the events we did day by day for the week. And of course, we had different themes for each day of the week, from healthcare worker vaccination to people with chronic health conditions to ending up with seniors on Friday. And for those of you who were in the midst of this, you know that the tragic earthquake in Haiti happened in the middle of the week. And you know, all media attention rightly focused on that, and that happened. So we were off to a good start at the beginning of the week, and that sort of got sidetracked. But we came back with a number of post-NIVW activities, including the rollout and paid placement of new television and radio ads, which we placed on national and cable television, radio, online, and we had an emphasis on Hispanic and African American media outlets. And so the new radio PSAs that we placed, that theme was show your love. Take action to show the people you care about that you do care about them and love them. You know, we do lots of things every day for the people we love, and getting vaccinated is one simple thing we can do. The television PSA theme was "The flu ends with you." and really emphasize this notion of personal responsibility. And that ad is meant to associate vaccination with an altruistic motive to help stop the spread of flu to others who are at high risk for serious complications. Jim showed a couple of our other ads. Here are some of the posters that were put together and made available. And as we discussed in the previous session, we had a heavy emphasis on social media and using those tools to get the word out. And specifically, as we talked about in the last session too, so I won't go into detail, this partnership with WebMD was extremely successful for us. So just a few thoughts on lessons learned, and then we can open it up to Q&As. So some keys that I think helped us ensure a successful communication response, really having seasoned communication staff. I mean, Glenn Nowak was at the helm in the Division of Media Relations for CDC. He had been the director of communication for the immunization program, knew the issues well. We had folks like Alan and partners like AED and HMA and others working with us who had worked with us for a long time and know our issues well. And then, of course, all of you on the front lines in public health who have been through one flu season after the other, that really helps. Thorough planning is important. What we found in the response, especially the early days in April and spring when we weren't yet into the vaccine communication component, was we had done a lot of pre-pandemic planning and a good deal of materials and product development. It was all based on H5N1 scenarios that we had in our minds. So a lot of that we couldn't use. But what was really helpful was thinking through, you know, the key messages that we would need and the process itself of putting together things like message maps. Being accessible, continuing to monitor and evaluate and do the research, and we've talked about that today. Dilemma sharing, going to you, our partners, and saying, you know, we don't know if we should do NIVW just yet. This is our dilemma. What do you all think? And getting that input and making decision making a shared process. And then, of course, tireless and talented spokespeople like Dr. Shuckett, early on Rich Besser, Dr. Frieden, and the Secretary. So again, I promise to be short. There you have it. And at this point, we do have a few minutes left for questions and discussion with our panelists. So if there are any questions or comments, feel free to come to the mic. Don't be shy. No takers? Mr. Diamond?
Jeff Diamond, one of those seasoned communication folks. Jim, I'm going to touch the third rail here, if I might. And that is, for those of us that were in the middle of this fight, there were messages from such individuals as Jenny McCarthy and Bill Maher that just came out and said, if you get this shot, you're an idiot. And the temptation is to fight back. And, you know, whether it was by a great deal of patience or a great deal of bourbon after work, one way or the other, we didn't. And I'm wondering from your research, at any point, does it pay to punch the bully in the nose, so to speak? It's probably a little strong, but that's my question.
Well, we can both chime in. First let me start by saying that as CDC, the federal agency that's responsible for both making vaccine recommendations, but also for monitoring the safety of vaccines and communicating what we find about vaccine safety, we walk a delicate balance there. And as a federal agency, we also have to be cautious in straw man attacks and isolating individuals and such. In addition, I think really, and I was just talking with Paul Offit in the hall before the session about this, that in the long run, even though it takes an awful long time in some cases, you know, the transparent, scientifically based, accurate communication that we do, I think pays off much better than attacking and trying to discredit sources of information. That doesn't mean we shouldn't aggressively counter misinformation when it's out there. And of course, we're all interested in that. Thus, you know, the media monitoring, social media monitoring, and the efforts to quickly get vaccine safety information out there when we have it. But I think, you know, attacking Jenny McCarthy's CV and and her as an individual, we're far better off focusing, I feel, on getting the science out there.
Yeah, I think one of the things, too, and we really didn't talk about it, is one of the things we happened is that we had a new vaccine that came out, or the perception of a new vaccine. We started talking about getting two shots. I mean, when we did our first round of focus groups, people started using all the subrogated knowledge that they had. I mean, and that's what was the source of this. Well, what's this flu like? Well, let's see, what's a seasonal flu like? Okay, well, that'll help me form my opinion. Oh, so it's not, it affects underlying condition, folks with underlying conditions. I don't have that, or my kids don't have that. Maybe I don't need to worry as much. You know, so, I mean, think about what the dominant messages were. Think about all the stuff that's out there about vaccines in terms of the safety of vaccines. Think about the issues that we've had with a number of the pharmaceuticals in terms of, in the last couple of years, we've had a number of those that have been out in the market for a period of time and have been recalled. And then also, think about one of the other things is that I think, you know, and this is my opinion, not that of the CDC or anything else, I think we give Jenny and the rest of them far too much credit. I really do. Apparently Jim does too, because he left her. But anyway,
the other Jim, not me.
okay.
Yeah, but I need to make that clear.
But anyway, I mean, there is this overlying background, a backdrop of we don't trust the government that's out there. I mean, the stuff I heard today, 8 in 10 people in the United States don't trust their government. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that's out there in the mix that adds to this, that really does affect this. And I think a lot of it was kind of subrogated knowledge. And then when you start injecting early on that, you know, there was a problem with the swine flu vaccine in 1976, and just repeat that, you know, all of a sudden you've got the antennas going up in terms of what are the safety issues.
What point exactly?
Yeah, and so you've got all this stuff going on. So I think that, you know, in terms of attacking somebody like this, I mean, the thing I see with this is that you're just reinforcing their message for another day, and they just love it.
I would just like to say, Jenny McCarthy would love to be able to do 60 events and have an average of 600 people press show up at each one of them. Volume of CDC's information going out there is so much louder than Jenny. You know, we're so heightened to it because I subscribe to her email, so I keep up on what she's doing. And we think everybody's paying attention. The fact is, not many people are paying attention. They're paying a lot more attention to what Ann Schuchat is saying. As surprisingly as it may seem, you know, that somebody getting up in her public health uniform, I mean, she's a great spokesperson, but people—that's what people wanted to hear this year. And the amount of—and I was frankly surprised at how I expected there to be more issues about vaccine safety than what we actually saw. There were certainly issues, but the stuff she was putting out there didn't get that much traction.
You know, just the fact that, you know, this is ongoing, you know, for us, you know, in vaccine safety communication. So, you know, part of our jobs, you know, obviously is to be aware of what our advocates as well as what our opponents are saying. So, I mean, this challenge will, I think, always be there for us, and we just have to find ways to appropriately deal with it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Any other questions? Okay, well, just a couple of reminders. The Gerald Lynn Hillman Lecture and Reception, again, are this evening. The lecture will begin promptly at 6 p.m. in Centennial Ballroom 1. And for those of you who didn't hear in the last session, Dr. Nancy Cox will be this year's speaker. Don't forget about Body Combat Fitness Event, first thing tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Arrive a few minutes early so you can sign in. Please plan to attend tomorrow morning's special plenary session, which will focus on broader horizons for immunization linking across sectors. Thank you all so much for coming to this session this afternoon, and please enjoy the rest of the conference.